The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Everybody, welcome to the Pat Buck Show. This is now a bi-weekly show, okay? I had to change it up. Reason? It's really not because I'm lazy. There has been multiple times I sat down wanting to record stuff, but between the other podcast and I don't have a lot of interesting stuff to say sometimes. Sometimes 2 weeks go by and I've just worked out and trained at the school and planned for shows, but I haven't really done anything, and I don't think they make exceptional stories. I mean, how many times can you hear me talk about whether, you know, I don't know, family or opinions? I guess I could do opinions, but I need questions for that. So if you want more content, you need to fire back questions at Buck Never Stops on Twitter or WrestlePROOnline.com. Let's get into the plugs then. This is a promotional tool. It's free therapy. It's all about the trials and tribulations. And let's face it, guys, I am just hoping to get a little traffic flow from the other podcast, Conversation with the Big Guy, also on iTunes, which is getting a lot of listeners and views, whatever it is, support more than this show. I guess that's the way to go with podcasting. You need something before you start podcasting, unless you build it up from scratch, which, hey, I tip my hat to you, but I think that's really, 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 really tough. So anyway, I'm on the Shining Wizards Network. They've been very supportive, so you can go check them out. I'm back on that platform. I don't know why the old stream is still up on iTunes. I don't have control to that. I was trying to figure that out. It's still there. I apologize. So yeah, it's going to be a bi-weekly thing, and I just figured it'd be better because it'd kind of be less, I don't know, I would say less boring, but I just... You know, the big thing is I need to upgrade my computer. My computer is 5-6 years old, and uploading a 1 hour episode of, like, you know, Pat Buck Show or Conversation with the Big Guy, 40 minute episodes, 30 minutes, takes me 3 hours. So picture that. 3 hours is, I get a lot done in 3 hours. You know, I'm normally up at around 7:30, 8 o'clock is the time I wake up. I know some of you guys, whatever, but I don't go to bed till probably about 1 o'clock. That's my, like, routine. I like that routine. So 3 hours of being nailed to home. And also, too, my Wi-Fi is not the greatest thing. So it cuts out, and I could be 76% into it, upload, and then all of a sudden the Wi-Fi shuts out, and I'm fucked. So that's the reason why, you know, I've made excuses before. But if you notice, hey, I try to stick to my word because Conversation with the Big Guy has been consistent. And now, guess what? We got sponsors, too. I can plug it here. So guys, if you're a really big fan of the Pat Buck Show, go to blueapron.com/big guy. I don't think Blue Apron will mind me double plugging them, but basically you get 3 free meals. It's really good food. Even if you don't use it again, whatever, just help me out. But I think you will, because I'm trying the food and I'm like, oh, this is great. I don't have to go to the store and get ingredients. So I inserted a plug that was really genuine. But if you really like this show, and I see you hardcore fans, I noticed the reviews, which are, thank you. You know, it's appreciative. They've been good. They've been really, really, really good. I think you guys just like refreshing someone just talking, and it's not, yeah, I promote my shit, but it's more so, it's podcasts are narcissistic. Let's just fucking face it. I'm on here to talk about myself. That's really it. And also because I feel like I don't have the skills in life to really talk to other people about my concerns or issues or thoughts. And, sometimes I just can't. So this is, allows me to kind of have a platform for myself and just give me something to do. So yeah. Okay. So what do we have going on here? Let me plug some things. This show should be up on Thursday. So if you're listening to this, can you do me a favor? Come to creativeprowrestling.com or just go to Creative Pro that night. We're doing a Thursday night show because we're trying to avoid football season. We don't want to run on Saturdays or Friday nights for Long Island. It's a nightmare with traffic. And also, you know, Hawkins is on the road. I'm either doing other shows or, you know, I'm doing my stuff. I don't live in New York yet. I'm moving. Another fucking plate to spin. But please come there. We have a fun, action-packed show, creativeprowrestling.com, 95 Engineers Drive in Hicksville. Me and Hawkins just signed the old five-year lease. So I am fucked. I'm stuck up here for a while. And hopefully you can sign up to be a professional wrestler. We're going to have a big open house, I think, in December. Get some new blood. I'm going to talk about that this episode because it's been a kind of a rewarding. And every now and then you got to drop the fucking hammer and make people realize, like, you know, I don't know, like, wrestling's weird where it's very, for the most part, people are very respectable. That's not the word. They respect wrestling. Like, you go into locker rooms, like, everyone does the old handshake thing, which kind of gets, like, a little redundant, but, like, they're most of the time, people are pretty chill and respectful. But then there's times also that, like, the more you're around wrestling, you start kind of getting your own opinions, which is fine, but then you start believing your own opinions, and then maybe you think your opinion's very strong and better than other people's, and it changes your actions, and you start hating people and hating everybody. And I notice that a lot. I'll get into that because let me get through the plugs first. I know it's a fucking disaster, just like the other podcast is too. November 19th, come to Rahway, New Jersey, WrestlePro Online.com. Main event is myself, because I booked myself to be there with Ryback and the Broken Hardys versus EJ5. I'll talk about the last shows coming up, you know, because I haven't checked in a while. I'm running in Newark. I will be wearing my bulletproof vest and I'll be wrestling. No, I don't think I'll be wrestling that night, but the next day, Sunday, November 20th in Newark, New Jersey, a new venue. I don't know if you hear whistling in the background. That's my heaters because I live in fucking ancient times. Well, ancient times wouldn't have radiators, you fucking idiot. But my house is very loud. My apartment, mind you. Okay, so November 20th, Newark, Ryback versus Colt Cabana. And we also have some other fun things on that show. JTG, Crowbar, bunch of other things. We're running a new venue, the Robert Treat Hotel. They have MMA events there in there all the time. They're hoping to draw a different crowd. They're into this. I'm into this. I hope this goes smooth. I hope this could be repeat business. We need a little help on the ticket sales, so please go to WrestleProOnline.com. And then after that, I'm looking at January 7th in Union. So that's breaking news if you listen to the Pat Buck Show. Clear your calendar. I wasn't going to run. Last year, I really didn't run much in January, February. And this year, I'm doing it because I guess, I don't know, I'm a glutton for trouble. January 7th, I'll announce talent soon. And I'll have two shows. I won't say the venues yet, February 10th and 11th, and people will guess and speculate, but it won't be Rahway. So I'm looking forward to I've already secured big talent for those shows and trying to reach out to other talent. If they could fucking reply on text, I might be one of the few pro wrestlers that wakes up before the hours of 9 or dare I say 10 or 11. Holy shit. Try to contact people for gigs early. You don't get anything back. I'll get a reply at 2 in the morning. I guess it's just kind of the wrestler thing. So I plugged WrestlePro. I plugged CreatorPro. Thank you guys for your reviews on iTunes. I slipped in a plug from the podcast. I don't know why you guys support the show. It's me just plugging shit for 6 minutes straight. Let's talk about some things. Okay, so I'm a little relaxed now because I'm between shows. Basically promoting. I'm doing a couple rentals here and there. Full, you know, full training thing. You know, full schedule, if you will. It's busy season for indie pro wrestling, I feel like, at least as a promoter. I don't know if talent's the same way. I feel like it dries up in February, like January, February, and then dries up in July, August. Just my opinion. So we ran a new building on October 14th, which was Ryback's debut to the independent scene in a match. I mean, he did signings, he did appearances on show, but that's first time he did a match. I'm going to pause this here.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Sport hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's Wrestling Talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey guys, while we take a little break and get the old wine refill, what goes better with wine than food? And what better place to get your food from than BlueApron.com? Blue Apron, they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients and building a community of home chefs. What it is, you basically go to the website, you pick out what your taste preference is, and you have food on the way coming to you. Their beef, their chicken, their pork comes from responsibly raised animals. They believe in regenerative farming practices. They're used for their produce. And it says the positive impacts on cooking together with families. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. So basically what I'm trying to say is maybe if I cooked with my dad, he would love me. You got to try Blue Apron. One of my favorite meals with them is the pan-seared chicken with roasted fall vegetables with a butter caper sauce. What I strongly recommend is signing up for less than $10 a meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, you idiot, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom, I can't say this word. What is heirloom? Heirloom tomatoes. Blue Apron is bringing you the best. So what you need to do is check out this week's menu. And for your first time, look, we're giving you three free meals. Just help us out. Go to the website, free shipping, blueapron.com/big guy, because we need the credit. We need your love and support. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredibly home-cooked meals, incredibly good home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Please don't wait. Again, blueapron.com/big guy. Three free meals with shipping. Okay, Blue Apron. A better way to cook. Enjoy the rest of the show. All right, I'm back. Sorry, I had to take a break because I overthink, and I was recording and my heater next to me was hissing. And I said, man, no one's going to listen to this show if they just hear a heater hissing in the background, or at least I wouldn't. So I'm back, and I was talking about the shows we ran October 14th in Creskill, New Jersey. Now, it's always concerning to me to run a new building because you can never know what you can expect. You could, for one thing, it depends on how cool the building is to begin with. Basically, are they uptight? Are they relaxed people? Are they helpful? Are they not helpful? And they were aces all around. Because, I mean, I've been in buildings before where they're like, you can't put that there. Where you can't do this. Or they have like weird rules and set. Or there's, I don't know, there's not enough parking. There's this, there's that, the other. This building was golden. It was a beautiful building. Creskill is a lovely city in New Jersey. So right off the bat, I'm like this. And I like seeing the venue before I take a sold show or before I run the place. I mean, that would be common sense. Unlike some people in the past who didn't believe in that. So I go there. I scout out the building beforehand. And it was a really good setup. It was... I'll say it here. It's a bought show. It was for basically to raise money for the Creskill Italian American Center or Unico. It's like an Italian group. I'm sorry, I'm not that familiar with. I've heard of Unico before, but because I work with a lot of groups like Knights of Columbuses and not so much charities, but more like organizations that do events and high schools and fundraisers. So basically, they pay a set price. And I give them a show. But the thing is that like what people see me losing my mind at event, not losing my mind, but like always I have the same nervous / relaxed / I don't know, whatever kind of fucking energy I give off, where I'm on edge for any show. But whether it be the most successful show, easygoing show, or whether it be, you know, a disaster of a show. Like, it's always the same level, you know, that I'm kind of at. And I guess concerned is I want to make sure everything goes perfectly. Not just good, I want to make sure there's no issues and everything goes perfectly. So I'm really on edge on this show. And people are like, why? It's a bought show. And I go, well, I have an ego. And I'm like, if there's no crowd here, what does that say about WrestlePro? I go, also... this may sound crazy, but for the amount of money that they paid to have a show there, the talent costs were way above. So it's like, Pat, well, why the fuck would you do that? Are you an idiot? No, because There's things, one, I had the event the following night, so I double dip with talent, and then I triple dip because a convention, which normally really kills it, is normally, you know, a very decent, and they are a good convention, but the crowd was a little light this year, which goes back to what I've been saying about the convention model going forward for my own, is just, it may not be worth it that much anymore, or to keep it completely separate. So, you know, I take a risk and I want to see that I just want to make everyone happy. And I've said it before, I can't make everyone happy, but I want to, cause here's the thing. What if there was 20 people? Picture this, you're a promoter. Okay. Cause a lot of you guys listening, a lot of the people that listen are wrestlers or they're in wrestling. Picture you're responsible for an event. You know, you have really great success from your last show. You want to continue that on. Now, and what do you do if someone's going, hey, I want to actually give you guaranteed money, you know, but I want to make it back. And, you know, would you be like, I don't really give a shit? Like, do you have that in you? Or do you want to do good business where they go, that was awesome, let's do this again. Hey, maybe we can do this for more money. Hey, maybe we can do this for a little less, but maybe can we cut out, you know, a talent or two and let's go really basic. Either way, it's good business. And it's what I've built up over the years. We're now, you know, going into 2017, I think I may have over 20 shows, which isn't bad for an independent. I think I may have more. Well, if you lump in Create a Pro with the amount of stuff we do, then I'm probably in the 26 to 30 region for events. You know, would I like more? Yeah, I would like more with less responsibility, meaning names. I wish it was just my own guys and we go boom, travel town to town or Jersey City to Jersey City, because it seems to be the only place I'm really running until I get into Upper New York or Pennsylvania or whatever. New York's been iffy. I'll tell you about that next. But that's been kind of the what I've been doing. So the crowd fills up, and it fills up pretty well. Was it a sellout? No. Was it 500 people capacity? No. Realistically, I want to paint it around 300 from the amount of floor seats I had there, from the crowd, you know, that I could see, about a 300 person crowd, which I think was pretty decent. And there was no hiccups. Everyone was into it. Santino liked it. Ryback's first match back. We had a little tag match, and we streamed things on Facebook Live, which is where I'm going to go from now on. I'm going to put the events out for free. I think a lot of promoters are they're either going to do one or two things. They're going to copy me. Not that I invented it, but I'm like, I think a lot of promoters, or especially the indie promoters, they do the DVD sales or the online streaming. I'm done with that. Unless someone's paying me to stream my shows or to run them myself, like, why do I want to take on that added chore of getting a DVD out there? Now, I agree. I should have some made. I should have them on a table. So when people come in, oh, I want that here. But it's not my timeline. If someone else wants to do that, fantastic. It's not on me. I'm not doing it. There's not enough money in it for me to go that route. Streaming options. Like, let's just be honest here, guys. It's the WWE Network is $10 a month. I don't know, you know, God bless Flow Sports. They're doing the whole indie thing. It's going to be really hard to compete with that. If they can do it, God bless them. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. So I'm going to give away my stuff for free until someone pays me for it. So we did Facebook Live, and we did it from, you know, our social media director's camera phone, which we're trying to, next time we're going to upgrade and figure out a way to have it stream from, one of my friends has a really nice camera, so we can Facebook Live from an actual camera instead of doing it from a phone. That way people can really see what's going on. And people are like, oh, well, won't that hurt ticket sales and people will stay home? And there's different kinds of wrestling fans. Like, you know, when I want the, you know, people like, oh, wrestling's in town, but I do want the hardcore fans there. And I just think it's better if they go, oh, this is what's going on. This looks fun. The crowd's having a good time, which they always do. Let me go to a fucking event. Basically, where the fuck was I going with this? So, oh, we streamed our event. I'll just talk about my match selfishly, because I've noticed as time goes on, I'm doing more things. I'm actually seeing less and less of my products, which kills me, which means I got to alleviate responsibility. And I'm turning over the booking to other people, and I'm turning over a lot of the training to other people, because I just don't have the time. So I'm like making sure everything's going right. The building, the show's going on, you know, matches, some matches were hits, some matches were misses. You know, we're learning process. Some performances were great. Some were not so great. So we get to the main event, and it's me and Ryback. Now, why would I book this match in the first place? Well, Originally, I was going to put just, you know, him versus me. And I thought, you know, because if I put him, I don't know. I'm kind of, not to give away booking, guys, but like when you see me, I can lose every night and it doesn't fucking matter. If I bring in, you know, a name talent and they, you know, just defeat my guy and they're out of here, you know, what does that really do? You know what I mean? Like I want, so when there's opportunities where I'm like, okay, like it would be better, like it wouldn't make any sense to bring in Ryback and then he loses to Anthony Bowens and then be done with it. Now I get that, but at the same time, he's going to be back here for a lot of things. Then I was going to, but me working him singles, like we have a lot of babyface matches here. And I know the babyface heel lines get blurred on the indies, but like it just would seem like a better fit with all the stuff we got going on. Hey, let's do a tag match. It's his first match in 5 months. Let's work with the bodies. This is decent. And of course I put the titles on us. Why not? Because I thought it would be more promotion for WrestlePro. It made a couple of, you know, dirt sheet headlines, and it's just the right move to make. Plus it goes into an angle with, you know, the next night, well, let's talk about that match. That match was fun. It's still on Facebook somewhere. I've decided I'm never going to put my hair in a top knot again because it looks like I'm trying too fucking hard to have hair. I didn't realize how thin it was. I don't really, you know, I put it up. I'm like, oh, cool. The bald spot's hidden. But then I'm watching it. I'm like, you idiot. You look terrible. So my physique is getting better. I'm in really, really great shape now with the test guy booster and the I went to my endocrinologist and they helped me out with things too, getting that old estrogen a little lower. So, but then and my gear looks great. I love my little Gambit gear. I'm trying to focus on a Darth Vader Stormtrooper gear for December, with Rogue One coming out and, you know, just blowing my money on gear, guys. Here you go. I wish I got to sell some of my gear. I need to get rid of some shit. Not because I want money, because I just need room. I have too much fucking gear. I'm never going to wear some of this shit again. Anyway, I was embarrassed by my hair. I was like, ugh, that top knot looks stupid. Don't do that again. I think I might just let my hair just grow out. And I really am, you know, while Broski, he's now wearing a weight belt. I don't think he wore it to the ring on TV. I see him on live events doing it. And he did grow the beard when he used to shun me for wearing a beard. And he hides his baldness. I'm wondering, should I go true? He loves Macho Man. I'm a big Macho Man fan. I'm wondering if I should just let my hair be like Macho Man and just let the fucking bald spot shine and the top be thinner and let the sides just grow out. Like, should I be the first guy that, you know, kind of like the Luke Harper look? But I feel like I have to get incredible shape to make that work. Like if I get like, you know, if I lean out incredibly or put on some real good muscle mass, I'm going to consider going full Macho Man on that one. The match I thought was great. I really had a great time working the bodies. I think the biggest compliment came after to, not to us, because like we, not to be selfish, we knew it'd be fine, but like you never know with when you're working on the independents, when guys are working quote names, you never know how they're gonna if they're gonna be nervous, if they're gonna shut down. And the bodies beat the shit out of Ryback. Like it's Sanjay Dutt, who is a brilliant guy, one of my favorite wrestlers, and people, was just like, man, like you guys are confident. You guys believe in yourselves. Like if you can get heat and believably beat up Ryback, you're going to make it in wrestling. Like there's no one, if you could beat up him and keep him down and make it believable, then you have something. So that was a real, you know, proud moment for them. And we had a good match. He didn't miss a beat. I think he was like, holy shit. He never worked in a 16-foot ring before. And the footing and the padding's different, but we all had a good time. Good show. We're off to the next night. The next day, I want to say the crowd was way better, but at the same time, I had a couple not so great moments. First one being Brooklyn. Okay, it sucks driving the ring truck in Brooklyn. I've said that before, and I was a little shorthanded, and a lot of times, if I can alleviate a responsibility, I'll pass it on to someone so I can do something else, because there's always shit that comes up. That day, I'm stuck. I got to drive the ring truck. I drove the ring truck there. I go to turn into the fucking parking lot. I hit a car. Or I don't hit a car. The back of the truck scrapes against a bumper. And I'm like, fuck, shit. I get out. I look around. And I'm like, I look at the car. There's literally just one little scratch on the car. And I'm like, do I make a scene? Do I be the responsible guy? Do I find out whose car this is? Do I leave a note? I'm like, but it is an unwritten rule in New York that, you know, if, you kind of expect your car to get a little dinged up. I know it sounds crazy for some of you people, but when you live in the city in Queens and Brooklyn, and I'm like, eh, my insurance is going to go up through the roof. Maybe I should just kind of get out of here. And I did. And they didn't know. So I got away with that, and I felt like a really big piece of shit. But like, hey, it's for wrestling, right? We want these good WrestlePro shows to keep happening. We want the ring truck to keep on going. So I avoided that. The show went off okay. I had issues with the fucking commission. They came and they're polite, but here's the problem now. The commission, I found out, there's the commission, the board, whatever, and they send inspectors to each show. And what's happening now is they've employed inspectors that don't know professional wrestling. They literally are just people that work for the commission. How they get said jobs, I don't know. I think some of you fans should check out. Literally, listen to me. I'm being dead serious. You can apply for a job like this. I don't know where it is. It's on, but if you type in like New York wrestling or New York Athletic Commission, like inspector jobs, try to get it. Help me out. Because like, and what it is they go and they have to inspect things. And like, you know, I understand there's rules, but like this got to a whole nother level where it was like, hey, I had an issue with the like, no tables, no this, no that, which I don't even know if they're in the laws. They're probably not. They're just, the commission has full control over everything because when the laws were created, that's what the law said. The New York Athletic Commission has full clout over professional wrestling, boxing, like it's on them. So they can technically do whatever the fuck they want legally. So I go, no, we don't have any of that stuff. I go, but what we do have is I have a barbed wire 2x4 that I was going to use for a run in later. Why? Because I was just going to run in a couple heels and they shouldn't be scared of little old me. So, and I wasn't going to hit anyone with it. It was just a prop we've always had in the ring truck. And I feel like it's a weapon that Cactus Pat would use. Anyway, they're like, okay, no, that's fine. First match happens, which is Kevin versus the Bromans, and then it turns into a tag match. Craven comes running through the curtain with a chair, a plastic chair, mind you, which is not very intimidating, and we've had issues with that before. But I see the commission kind of give like a snarl, and I go, fuck. I look like a scumbag because it's a first match. It looks like I'm lying. I've, you know, salted my reputation already. I'm really fucking pissed. And after every match, they're going to the back and they're checking on every performer to see if they're hurt or not. And like, I think that's admirable, but at the same time, I feel like they were out to get me and they're going to do this for every wrestling promotion. This is the way things are going. So also with, they're like, you know, any, I'm like, look, there's going to be, they're like, don't hit the guardrails. I'm like, that's fine. I'm like, we won't, but they're sturdy guardrails. They will hold up. However, like nothing on the floor, like you can't really have matches where you don't go to the floor that often, especially when you're in multi-mans or tag teams. Like you have to. And anytime a dive would happen, they would get up, they would take pictures. They took pictures of the tickets because they want to make sure the license is in the same name, which it is. It's fucking Create-A-Pro and WrestlePro have the same fucking owner. But there was just a lot of hoopla with that. And, you know, getting the blood, like every, I just feel like it wasn't, but I feel like it's not them out. They've employed new people. So they're just doing their job. However, they're so by the book that wrestling isn't really by the book. Like people pretend to be hurt. They're not actually hurt. It's just such a fucking crazy thing. I just hope going forward, I have no issues with the commission because the way I look at it, I'm either going to do one of two things. If there's no issues going forward, I'll abide by the rules. If there's a thing where they're kind of ruining shows or I feel like they're really out to get people, then I'm going to stand up to the commission. I feel like I could be the one that makes the most noise to really go, this is what's going on in wrestling. And I will really, really, really fight this. And I'll do pro wrestling parties and I will do every loophole around it. I'll put up with the ambulance thing. I'll put up with an EMT thing. I'll do that. But if they're going to really like enforce things with different, how people wrestle on a show and how they go about doing that sort of business and kind of out to get people when they're selling versus if they're actually hurt, little things that are silly like that, you know. And what bothers me is there was a show, you have to have mats on the outside. Jack Sabbath runs a fucking terrible show over, not insulting the guys, but I'm insulting him because I don't know why the fuck he runs against me. It's retarded. So he's running a show and I look at pictures and there's wrestlers diving into the fucking crowd and there's no ring mats. So I'm going, you're here and I'm Mr. Play It Safe. There's dives to the outside, like during the Ryback Moth match, which I know you wouldn't expect a lot of dives from that, but they did. Completely safe floor, guardrail, on their show, there's pictures of people diving into the fucking crowd. Why are you here? Why is there no mats there? Why do they get a, why is it always, why do I get the harshest, the inspectors? It makes no sense. So that's what happened with that. You know, but just be aware of that, fans, because I plan to run that Brooklyn building, 3-4 times a year, and I like it there. And, I love that it was the best turnout we've ever had since running that building, or I've ever been associated with that building. I want to say it was like 350 there, you know, 500 is a sellout. That would be nice. But, that makes a big difference when it comes down to revenue. However, we did good there. And props to Chad Mintz, who also took it upon himself to do a little extra advertising, which I think really sparked a lot of interest. What else we have from there? I was going to talk about Ryback and Moff. They had a really good outing. We streamed that match too. People on Facebook are, whew, man, they're either super nice, super complimentary, or they're real bad trolls. But I don't mind it. I encourage it. You know, it's, I don't encourage it, but it's like, what can you do? You know? I wasn't the one responding as WrestlePro to people, but I really, really don't care. It's like, you know, if you're going to give a shitty opinion, we can give one back to you. You know, if, it is what it is, but I want to improve that over time and get the, at least make it look a little better. We did have a funny fucking story with, where I'm like, man, I'm going to get away from this completely. Brooklyn is Kev Matthews' hometown. So for this show, I kind of team up with him and we do the co-promoting and we do like kind of, you know, I don't want to say co-promoter. Co-promoter is the wrong way, but he helps me out heavily and organizes the show. I'm the promoter. Let's just say that pretty much. But he helps me with a couple different things here and there. So with that being said, he knows a couple people in town where there's always like referees. There's like this cast and crew. They're always like, hey, if you need help, I can bring people to a show and we'll entertain it. But I don't want to put up with it. And he's like, oh, there's this referee guy, you know, I'm going to see what he does. You know, we've used him before and there's always kind of weird issues, but he's like, basically, look, I just want to referee a match. And, you know, can I get 10 tickets? And I'll sell them and I'll be on the show. I'm like, that's kind of fair. Okay, cool. So, he handles that. And, I'll say we, cause I'll just, whatever. Kevin doesn't hear from him for a while and he checks in. He's like, hey, did you get the tickets? The guy's like, no, I didn't get the tickets. He's like, well, I mailed them to you. He's like, oh, well, I didn't get them. Kevin pulls up the tracking and goes, what do you mean you didn't get the tickets? Like, I have the tracking here. They arrived at your place. He's like, no, I didn't get them. And then he goes, have you checked your mailbox? He's like, no, I don't really check my mailbox because there's nothing but bills in there. Kevin's like, check your fucking mailbox, man. Like, the tickets are there. And then he goes, oh, yeah, they are there. I thought that the mailman should have knocked when he delivered them. So right away, you know, this guy's a fucking rocket scientist. You know, proceeds to not really do what he said he was going to do. This guy really smells very bad, too. He's a big doofus. And he shows up on show day, and he has, like, a couple of them, but the other ones are missing, which is a big trick of a lot of these guys. They always try to pull a hustle. In addition, we found that he had other tickets in his wallet for another promotion for that the ECPW that's running, I think running nearby like 2 weeks later or something like that. And then I found out, and I put two and two together, that a lot of these guys, that they're so desperate to be on shows. Like, if you sell tickets, dude, that's fine. I mean, I fucking sell tickets still. Like, it's all MMA amateur promotions outside of UFC and Bellator. If you're running, all those fighters sell a lot of tickets. That's what the crowd is. That's how you get paid. That's how you get a spot on the show. So this guy, basically, I found out his thing. He returns a couple tickets and then he holds on to the majority of them. He waits for fans to line up outside because on our shows, we always have people not tailgating, but they're outside, you know, awaiting the event. And he'll go online and sell those tickets to the fans, get the money for them and turn them in. So he gets credit for it. It sounds crazy. Why would someone do that? Well, because they'll get a cut of it or because they just want credit for it. It's bananas. And not only that, they're pushing tickets to the next event for the following week or two somewhere else in the area. And it's just garbage, just complete garbage. And I caught wind of that. So I'm like, you know what, whatever, put the kid in the fucking match. He does that. And we just go, okay, never again with this guy. He's a fucking idiot trying to be a hustler. Like, can't even check his mailbox because there's bills in there and he's scared of him, you know, but he can pull this fucking ticket routine. Then at the end he comes up, he's like, he comes to me, he goes, are you paying me or is someone else paying me? I'm like, for what? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, you know, what do you want? And Kevin has him too. Like, what do you expect? He's like, oh, I don't know. Is $30 okay? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. And he mumbled something as he walked out. And I'm like, should I fucking clock this guy? I'm like, nah, let him go. Let these guys go. It's just sad. You know what I mean? Sad. Just fucking stuff you put up with independent wrestling. But like I said, if we had 300 regular fans, none of this shit would happen. And the show qualities would go through the roof. And it'd be easier to book things. But that comes with, like if you notice, you know, PWG, they sell out all the time. They run 4 times a year, 5 times a year. But they don't have any of that stuff because their ticket prices are through the roof as well. But their fans buy pre-order and buy all the tickets. Therefore they can book fucking awesome quality. On my end, I don't have that luxury. I'll be lucky to sell first row, second row sell out, maybe third row sell out on some shows. Most shows, not really. It's just how it is up here in the Northeast. So because of that, I have to inflate the card with people that can bring people. Sometimes myself. Sometimes when I'm in a match, I'm like, hey guys, 20, 30 people show up to see me. You don't believe me? Who do you think's fucking cheering me in the crowd for that Ryback match? It's my new family. No, but it's things like that. So, you know, I'm trying to plead my case for you guys to go to WrestlePROOnline.com or CreativePROWrestling.com and pre-order tickets. It really does help dictate what we're going to do for shows and for talent, you know, lesson learned. And that's a shoot. If pre-sale was a lot higher, and sometimes people always, oh, we sold this amount pre-sale. And I'm like, you're fucking lying. You're lying. Like, don't give me that bullshit. I love that. I love when promoters like, oh, we have 500 pre-sold. I'm like, yeah, sure you do. I'm like, I had 500 pre-sold for WrestleMania in town with like every fucking featured act on the planet on. You know, no, you don't. You have one TNA personality here. You don't have 500 pre-sold. Shut the fuck up. So that's it. I said I was going to talk about riffraff at my school. Let's just say like there's a lot of, you know, it's weird. I ran the schools with my heart more than my head. Meaning like people were getting, my school became overpopulated, believe it or not. I had to kind of turn people away from Creative Pro New Jersey because I realized over the years I kind of cut people deals because I felt like they really contributed to the show or they did something really good for me personally. I mean, business-wise, not fucking personally. Like, you know, people got this piece of equipment or really had a really great match and doing everything right here. But then I realized, like, oh my God, like there's like 12 people I have this relationship with. And they're in the school. Rent's not free for me. Insurance is not free for me. And they're also taking the ring time up from my newer core guys who need the training. So I had to kind of like put the hammer down and be like, hey, you know, and there's people that are very fucking dramatic and not happy. I'm not asking anyone to be happy, but I think there's like a issue if I think there's something to be said if you're, you know, 5 years, 6 years in wrestling or less, and you're very, very angry. Like, you can be salty after 10 years, but like, and like, I make jokes that I'm very, very salty. And maybe in times in developmental, I kind of was a little depressed, but that goes to like 8 years in, you know, never mind. OVW is a little, but I always worked hard and did everything, got along with everybody. I was just like depressed about not getting hired but I was still there all the time and still never dragged anyone down and never complained. I was a fucking yes man for like 10 years, my first 10, 11 years in wrestling. I did what I was told. And that's what made the fucking me, myself, and Irene switch snap in my head to kind of go, fuck this. Okay, I tried it this way. I'll do it that way. And I'm not encouraging guys to do that because they shouldn't unless you've actually done stuff and put the time in and done something of value or like something where it's like, whoa, that took a lot of sacrifice and whatnot. So basically I kind of trimmed up my roster, but like took the school and we're kind of going back to the basic routes because people were bitching about things. And I think people were finger pointing at opportunities and not happy. And I'm like, if you're not going to be happy under my watch, you know, good luck with the rest of the independents. Like, you're not going to, it's not going to work out very well for you. And then people, I found out a couple people said they hated me. That wasn't very nice to hear. I'm like, Jesus Christ, really? Some of the people I really like bent over backwards for, I found out people, you know, and I believe certain credible sources. I'm like, hate's a fucking strong word. Like, Christ, you know, you're getting basically free training or like $20 a month training and you hate me? Ugh, Lord. Not that any of that matters. So anyway, we're going to try to get some new students, especially in New York and New Jersey. I like new students everywhere, but then there's also times where I tell people I've told a couple of people I can't train them anymore because of their abilities. If you've been a year with me and you still can't go and you can't get through a passable match, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take your money anymore. And then there's a couple of people I had to do that too, which sucks because they're like, oh, I'll pay the full rate. And it's like, no, it's not about that. Like, it's not, you don't have it and I can't. It's not fair because then you're going to outside shows going, Pat Buck trained me, and then you have a stinker of a match, and then that ruins my brand. I don't know if there is a Pat Buck brand, but, you know, there's at least some, I think, credibility in the shitty business. I think that's it, really. Oh, there was one question. I think there was more questions, but I've actually had a couple, like a lot of retweets with different things from from WrestlePro and from Conversation with the Big Guy. So I've lost a lot of them. So if you want, you know, I think email if you want questions answered. Let me get to that one. Pulling it up on my old phone here. So here we go. Mike Malero, definitely probably the strongest supporter of the show. Fuck. Goddamn iPhone upgrade. Here we go. Just wanted to drop a quick line. I love that we're getting a lot more WrestlePro matches online. While I do try to hit every show I can, I still end up missing a lot of them. Shame on you, Mike. It's great to have to fill in the blanks. Congrats to you and Ryback on winning the tag titles. that was one thing too. I guess the fans, cool, congrats. Like, but going to the back and people are like, congratulations. And I'm like, kind of scratching my head. I'm like, is that a thing? Like, I booked the shows, you know, I own the company. I don't know if you really need to congratulate me on winning that to me. I kind of like chuckled to myself. I'm like, oh, thanks. And I wonder if that's the thing in like WWE, if like Hunter comes through the back and he wins the title, like people are like, oh, congrats, man. Like, I was just thinking about that. I was like, oh, it's really, really weird. But still, thank you. We're looking forward to the deletion match on November 19th. Thank you. Should be good. Going outside the world of wrestling for my question this week. You talk a lot about your love of superheroes. Just curious, do you keep up with all the comic based TV series and do you have a favorite? Thanks, Mike Malero. Yeah, of course. And not all of them. Like, I haven't seen like Luke Cage yet, but like I'm back into Arrow. I finished Gotham up to season 2, which is fucking tremendous. And I want to catch up on Arrow because I feel really shitty. I didn't see Cody's thing, but I don't want to see it because I really do like the show and I'm 2 seasons behind. I like Flash. I like some of them. I failed. I watched Jessica Jones and I fell asleep every time. So not all of them appeal to me, but for the most part, any of the animated stuff always does. Like Young Justice or Justice League America. Like I go to bed to them. I put them on, I watch, or I'll binge. I can't fall asleep because the voices in my head just keep me up. So, I keep up. I don't know if I really have a favorite. Gotham, I thought it was really, really, really strong second season. And Batman's always going to be the number one for me. So I guess I'll say that the animated series, shit like that. I'm such a mark for what was the one I was just watching? Oh, Young Justice was like really, I never thought I'd like Blue Beetle. Of all superheroes, pretty rare. But yeah, you can see I'm a mark, and obviously I had a whole fucking Gambit gear made. I'm trying to get more things made. I think I'm having a Deadpool one made. I just like the singlet style, and I'll get some more shit made. It's all in the back burner. Yeah, that's it, guys. That's the only question. One and done. WrestlePro.com, CreativeProWrestling.com. Do the blue apron /big guy. Keep them rolling in. It was my first paid sponsor, which I thought was like a milestone for me. Like a little tear ran down my cheek, you know, after 4 or 5 years in podcasting and you see your first, you know, sponsor. It was kind of like really, really awesome to hit that milestone. That's it, guys. Leave a rate review, follow me, Buck Never Stops, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks.